July 7th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series, episode 2. We continue our engaging conversation with the Honorable Sarah Rodriguez, Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin. And thank you again for joining us, Sarah. Do people call you Lieutenant Governor or LG? Is there like the LG or is there any...
You know, I get called a whole lot of things, but Lieutenant Governor is one of them. LG is one of them as well. And, you know, of course, my friends and family call me Sarah, which is what most people call me. So,
well, and I think that's, you have that effect on people that when I see you in these engagements, that people feel very comfortable calling you Sarah, which I think is a compliment to your leadership.
So I often tell people it's okay. They don't have to do the title because this is who I've been for a very, very long time is I'm just a mom who lives in Waukesha and decided to, you know, run for office to do something about some of the things I care about. But I have been long part of this community and, you know, volunteering my time with all sorts of other agencies and just wanted to be able to make just a tiny little bit of difference in Wisconsin.
Sure. Well, I would have to disagree. I think you're making a very big, large impact. As promised, we have for the benefit of our listeners, the $64,000 question. What does a lieutenant governor do?
So it's a really interesting question. And if you look all across the country, lieutenant governors do very different things in states. So in some states, they may head the Senate, like they kind of do on the federal side. In some states, they don't even have a lieutenant governor. They don't have a second in command. They have just the Secretary of State would be the next person on the succession planning. Mm-hmm. In Wisconsin, we're kind of unique too in how we run for office. And so I run independently on a primary on, you know, as like a Democrat or a Republican, you run on the primary independently. And then you run together in the general with your counterpart on your party ticket, whether that's Democrat or Republican. And there are some states where they're completely separate, right? Wow. So you could have a Democratic governor and a Republican lieutenant governor or vice versa. And so that's kind of interesting. Most states pick their lieutenant governor. The governor wins the primary and then...
Oh, really?
Yep. And then they pick who they want as their lieutenant governor. So it's Wisconsin's kind of a unique little bird in that that way. But in Wisconsin, what's great about the office is you get to make it what you want it to be. And so that is really nice for me. So with my very strong healthcare background, I'm a nurse by background. I've worked in public health for most of my career. I was an epidemic intelligence service officer with the Centers for Disease Control, did outbreak investigations nationally, internationally. So I have been working in public health for decades. And so that is my big passion is to make sure that the policies that we have in Wisconsin match our values, that we are taking care of our neighbors within healthcare. And so within the office, we did a task force on the healthcare workforce. Because we know we've got shortage of nursing, like I said before, but we've got shortage of other things as well. So surgical technicians is something that the hospitals are always looking for. Nursing assistants, medical assistants, you know, these are the folks who we want to be supporting across the entire healthcare kind of ecosystem. A, can we attract people to come in? Can we graduate more of them within Wisconsin? And then let's make sure that they want to stay. So we're giving them an experience for them, especially for young families, to be able to make sure that they stay. So that was really exciting for me to be able to lead that task force. Also working on a couple of other different projects within the office, looking at unique programs. Like I mentioned, the one that you can graduate with your LPN at the same time you get your high school degree. There are other unique programs within Wisconsin for healthcare providers. So we're putting together a report on that of some of the things that we learned while we were putting these recommendations together for the healthcare workforce task force. So that's exciting. Really love working with small businesses, making sure that they get the support that they need. I often go out and visit all 72 counties every year. And that is important to me because I think that most policy is local. Most healthcare is local. Most policy is local.
All politics is local.
All politics is local. And so being able to go out to every single county and talk to people about what they want to see from their elected leaders has been really, really important to me. Sure. So most recently, I was doing a tour of farms across the state and creameries. Nice. Yeah. Reminded me very much. So my grandparents had a farm in Richland County between Bosstown and Sugar Grove.
You don't
know where that is because very few people live there.
Sure.
And then my uncle had a farm as well that we used to visit during the summers. And they would, you know, put us to work in the barn and on the fields. Mm. And it was just, it just reminded me of my childhood and going back and smelling that barn. It was like, it was great.
Yeah. Nothing like being on a farm.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I grew up in a metro area, but I grew up in a small town that was founded by Quakers some like over 200 years ago. And so it had this real kind of New England feel to it, the colonial houses. But as you got further out of the village, and even in the village, there was tons of green space, but as you got in people with gardens and green life, but as you got further out, there were commercial farms, big farms. Mm-hmm. And I'm pleased to hear that it's still there. You know, the growth, the town was like 27,000 when I left, you know, in 1985. And it's still, when I go back, it's still like that population. It might be 30,000 or so, but there's still a lot of that farms. And I think too, with some of the issues we're having with food insecurity, it would be great to have some sort of reinvestment in agriculture and possibly urban agriculture.
Yeah.
So do you get much of that? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to say the food insecurity piece is something that I hear about as well. We were talking about the federal budget. That's a concern for me, that we are going to have to try to backfill some of the dollars that the federal government is taking away from Wisconsin. And that's like $350 million. And that's taking food out of kids' mouths. I mean, and it's not that much money. I mean, it just gets people by. And if we're going to expect our food pantries to be able to make up the difference from those SNAP benefits or food stamps, they've already told me that they are at capacity. Even before this budget passed, they're at capacity. Right. And so it is concerning to me that the Republican-led federal government chose to pass such a draconian bill that quite literally takes food out of children's mouths.
It's mind-boggling and just really hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, that when you came to visit our Waukesha County Food Pantry last November, and that was a proactive visit. You weren't invited. Mm-hmm. You wanted to come and see us. I remember when Lindsay Johnson, the executive director, asked, like, what brings you to the food pantries? And you said, I want to know how people, you know, families in need are, you know, able to celebrate the holidays with Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. And it meant a lot to so many people involved with the food pantry that you'd paid a visit and took the time to learn more.
Yeah. And I heard, not just from Waukesha, but from other places, how the need keeps going up.
Right.
And that more and more families are coming to the food pantry because they just can't make ends meet. And we just need to acknowledge that that's real, and that this federal budget is going to make that worse. And we may have to increase what we're trying to do at the state level to try to help with the needs of our communities. But there's only so much we can do at the state level that it is going to have effects all across Wisconsin.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I want to ask you about federal you know, the money we put into the federal versus what we get back. So put a pin in that. But I wanted to finish the conversation about the visit to the food pantry in Waukesha. Waukesha County, as I understand it, and I believe we had this conversation, is one of the wealthiest counties, most affluent counties in the state of Wisconsin. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah, it is one of them. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is fair to say.
In my experience from being on the board, like I remember the first visit I had with Lindsay's predecessor, Karen Treadwell, walking out on a Friday where the line had already formed with the clients. And these people looked just like you and me. They were seemingly middle-class, white, well-dressed. Probably people that you would expect to live next door or across the street. And it affects everybody.
It does.
And even, you know, two income families are mm-hmm. impacted by food insecurity. And so to me, that was a telltale sign. And that was like 3 years ago. And so yeah. now with the pressure we're under, I just hope we can get more people to pay attention and do something about it.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, poverty as well, you know, and that can be invisible within sure. suburban communities like ourselves. We sure. don't see it as often visibly in front of us, but it exists.
Yeah.
And people are barely scraping by. And yeah. we have some of the highest housing prices, you know, across yeah. the state. And so, you know, those are the kind of things that we can use policy. We can use our state government, our local government mm-hmm. to make sure that people can meet their basic needs. And that includes right. housing, food, childcare, healthcare. These are all basic economic things that we know that it affects all of us. It affects me, you know, it affects me and my family and what we are able to do. And so I think that that is the good use of government is to make sure we can provide that everybody has a chance to be able to provide for their families and get ahead.
Sure, sure. Yeah. No, I'm glad we're talking about that. When we were talking earlier about healthcare, I was reminded of a, you know, I'm glad I'm able. I first graduated from Michigan State. In between undergrad and grad school, I spent a year in Washington, D.C., and I did an internship for a Democratic congressman from Western Michigan named Howard Wolpe, the first Africanist and maybe the only in U.S. Congress history. He was a Ph.D. in African studies and was very instrumental in America's role in quadrupling the budget for famine relief in Ethiopia during the mm-hmm. 80s, but also in America's efforts in releasing Nelson Mandela from prison. So it was a real historic time. It was a really neat opportunity for me to be around a congressman like that. But he was also chair of a coalition that funded a private institute called the Northeast Midwest Institute. Mm-hmm. And research was being done that when you take all that big collection of states, the Great Lakes states, all the way to the Northeast, to New England, we were accounting of, and I don't remember the numbers, but let's just say we accounted for like 35 to 40% of the overall federal budget. Maybe it was higher. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the federal funding we were getting back, that percentage was much lower by maybe 10, 12%, because a lot of those federal funds were going towards Sun Belt areas where a lot of our defense contractors are and other like federal programs. And so I just wonder, and I know we've had some success, like I know there's a defense contractor in Marinette and everything, but more than that, but it's like, are people paying attention to that anymore? Like they were, I guess this is like the late 80s, early 90s about what we're getting back from, you know, and I know it's a problem in the state because the surplus, we're not getting it back at the county level or the city level. But in terms of the federal level, is that something, you know, you're keen to at the, in the at the executive branch about
I mean, we're always looking at that in terms of what services we need and what we need from the federal government. We know that when we push those dollars up, we expect to have services that are provided within the state, such as, right. as making sure they're manning our Social Security offices, making sure mm-hmm. that when we ask, for example, like with the lead investigation within the Milwaukee public school system, they asked for officers like I was, an epidemic intelligence service officer, to come out and help them because it was an enormous undertaking that they needed support from the experts within CDC. And they were denied that. They were denied that. And so that's what I think is frustrating sometimes is we are doing our fair share, right? We are pushing those federal taxes up and we expect services in return. And that this current federal budget is not going to be able to give us the level of service that we have had in the past in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And it is all in service of tax breaks to, you know, millionaires and billionaires. And I don't think Jeff Bezos needs another yacht. I think we can make sure that we can feed people in Wisconsin, that they can get a hold of a Social Security rep if they're having a problem. And that's what we're paying our federal dollars for.
Sure. And I guess that's another good question, is I know there's, for some people, that with what's going on at the federal level, there's a kind of a feeling of helplessness or, well, obviously frustration, and people want to fight back in a, obviously a, what's the term, a positive way,
right,
a constructive way. What advice do you have for the average constituent like myself in terms of how we can do better, how we can make more of an impact at the state and federal levels?
So I always encourage people to write and call their elected representatives and write about your story, why this is important to you. Not necessarily those ones where they're sort of like a form letter. Really talk about why this is important to you. What do you see in your community? Why are these services important?
Sure.
And reach out to your local electeds, because you know, we work for you, right? You are our bosses. And that is, it's important for us to hear from our constituents. So I always encourage that. The other thing that I encourage is if you're part, like, for example, I'm a nurse. If you're part of a professional organization, you can have input into what policy areas that they're promoting. And sure, then you can have an even broader impact because you're coming in as an organization as opposed to coming in as an individual. So I just encourage people to do that. And it is, it's not a done deal in terms of what's going to happen. We do have midterm elections coming up in 2026 where we can have an impact of who our leadership is within Wisconsin and federally, and holding our elected officials accountable. That's really important. And you should vote in every election. And I know, I remember when my kids were small, and I would drive past the voting, I was like, oh my gosh, what are we voting on today? I don't know what it is, because it was a nonpartisan, like off-cycle election that I'd have to go home and look it up. And
but
those are so important. Those are so, school boards are important. City council is important. And if you truly have a passion for wanting to make change, run for those offices yourself, honestly. You know, and it doesn't have to be a, like a statewide office like mine, or a federal office. It's a big one. You can make an enormous difference on a school board.
I thoroughly enjoyed my work as an alderman.
Really, you can.
You do make a difference.
You do truly make a difference. And so I think it's important for folks to run for office, regular everyday people who've had regular jobs in the past and understand what it's like to pay your mortgage and, you know, go to work every day and try to pay for healthcare and try to pay for childcare. All of those things are important because you bring that perspective to your elected office.
And I would do one better, that even if you don't think you have a chance of winning, run anyway.
Run anyway. Because at least you can be talking about it. Yeah. You can talk about the issues that matter to you.
Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised in terms of the interest you attract.
Yeah, it's really, really true. I think that that's important, particularly in these nonpartisan offices. I think there's an opportunity to have conversations about what we want to see for our community.
No doubt, no doubt. What, I know we're getting short on time, so what have you enjoyed most about being Lieutenant Governor, Sarah?
You know, I love going to all 72 counties. I really, really do. And I am not joking that every time I go someplace, I learn something new. I learned that there is a custom pool cue maker called Jacoby's Pool Cues, number one internationally, in a tiny little town in Wisconsin. Those types of things, like how, you know, I had no idea that that was something that we had here as industry. I learn about so many different things across the state. And I think it's just, we are such a beautiful and diverse state in terms of what it looks like environmentally, the people who are here, the type of industry that we have. And so I really enjoy talking to folks, hearing about what's going on in their communities and what we can do to help. And that's been the most favorite part of my job.
Sure. Oh, that's terrific. Any final comments for our This Week in Waukesha listeners, Lieutenant Governor, that you'd want to extend to them?
Yeah, my heart's out to all of the moms and dads who just graduated, those seniors, especially if it's your first one. It's hard to let them go, man. But you know what? They're going to be okay. We've raised them well. They got a good education in Waukesha. And so just congratulations to all those families out there like mine.
Terrific. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Thank you again for joining us. It's really been a thrill to catch up and just this past month, all the time, the opportunities we've had to meet. And I believe I'm not alone in that there's several people around the state that have seen you more than once and really feel like they know you And so thanks so much for all you do for the state of Wisconsin, for the way you represent Waukesha, Waukesha County, the Milwaukee area, and for being an inspiration to so many young people, young women in particular, I'm sure. And also for being a Waukesha South, a fellow Waukesha South parent, go Black yeah. Shirts. So I want to thank everyone else for tuning in and joining us. And please be sure to check out all the other podcasts and all the other great programming on Civic Media. I want to thank my fantastic producer, Max Martinson, for accommodating us on a Monday night. And please remember everybody, especially, I know there's still fireworks going on, even though the 4th is over. Safety is everybody's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Please look after your neighbors. Thank you again. Go Ramila Mahagav Galer, and see you.